Texans Weekly is brought to you in part by M&G Bank, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into this week's edition of Texans Weekly. A big week for the Texans, lots of changes. Therefore, we will be making some changes on this week's show. We will head out to the Verizon Wireless show and Antonio Smith's show at the Houston Texans Grill a little bit later on. Wade Phillips will join us instead of our weekly visit with General Manager Rick Smith. But first things first, the big news of the week on Friday. After the Jacksonville Jaguars game, head coach Gary Kubiak was let go.
To have this string of losses that we've sustained is just totally unacceptable, and it's not what this organization is about. We're about winning and accountability, and even though we normally would wait until the end of the year to evaluate our coaching staff and our players, under these extreme circumstances, we decided it was in the best interest of the organization to go ahead and start that evaluation process now. And as a result of that, we felt that a change was needed in the head coach position, and so Gary Kubiak is no longer the head coach, and Wade Phillips will serve as the interim head coach. We'll evaluate the rest of the coaching staff. We will also be evaluating the players. We are so disappointed and I guess shocked by what has happened. And I know that our fans are just terribly disappointed, and they're no more disappointed than we are. I want to thank Gary Kubiak. Gary has brought this team to a new level. We've had two division championships. We've had some outstanding performance. It's been a job that he is totally committed to, and he's put everything, his whole being into it. We couldn't ask for more out of anyone, and it's very disappointing that he's not going to be with us in the future. I truly felt that he would be with us until it was time for him to retire.
I obviously want to echo Mr. McNair's comments. And thanking Gary for his commitment to the organization. We've been together now almost 18 years, and so that's obviously a lot of history, and I've got a tremendous amount of respect for him. And it was a difficult decision, but you know what's taking place right now is just not acceptable for our organization. And when you have a setback of this magnitude, it requires extensive introspection, and we've got 3 more weeks of a season left to continue the evaluation process that has been ongoing, and we've got to right the ship.
If you lose 11 games in a row, like I said, there's going to be changes, and obviously the players are the ones who play the game, so we're the reason for those 11 losses, so obviously everybody's responsible for what's happened here.
You know, it is sad to see something that you don't want to see. The thing about the game of football is it takes a lot of people to be successful. And, you know, all of us play a part in it.
You know, you build relationships and you go find the people. And then, you know, you kind of get immune to it with players because it happens more often. You know, but then when it happens with a coach, you know, I think it's only happened 2 times in my career. You know, so it's like a shock. It's a shock to you. You know, and I text Coop and asked him how was he doing and everything like that. But the game is the game. So far as that, you know, it's not surprising on hardly anything they do upstairs surprised me. I didn't see it all. So, you know, when it happened, you know, everybody kind of figured it, but, you know, it still kind of hurt a little bit.
So definitely an emotional day and week for everyone out here at Reliance Stadium. And, of course, we wish Gary Kubiak and his family all the best moving forward. We have to take our first time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll sit down and visit with interim head coach Wade Phillips. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, head coach of the Houston Texans, Wade Phillips. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, good to be here.
As head coach, which of course that title has come gone, is back again. Just sort of kind of just take us through kind of the roller coaster of not only kind of what you've gone through, but just kind of the emotion of it as well.
Well, you know, the first emotion was when Gary was sick. I mean, that was frightening, really, and especially at halftime. And then we knew he was going to be well, and he came back quickly. And then the big disappointment, you know, when he was let go here at the end of the year.
Well, and from your standpoint, I mean, you're a guy that's had to, you know, you're there, you probably prepare the same each and every week, you stepped in when needed, but as someone who's worked so close with Gary, as you said, scary from the stroke standpoint, kind of sad, you kind of hurt for the guy I know as your friend being let go. You know this is a business, you've been through it before, but I know that doesn't make it any easier.
No, it doesn't make it easy, but, you know, it is part of coaching. You know, it's an instant gratification league. I mean, you know, you need to do it right now, and then you need to do it again, and that's where we are.
So as you look at these next three games, you've made it very clear that you are interested in coaching this team in the future. What can you do to prepare? I mean, is it just about the win-loss record? What do you do to sort of...
It's obviously a hard job because you're taking over a team that's lost 11 games in a row. So, I mean, and that's normally a situation that you take over when you're interim. I've been interim for the third time. One time they lost 6 out of 7. The other time it was 10 out of 12, and now it's 11 in a row. So, you know, these situations are difficult to turn the whole team around in a short amount of time. But you've got to get them on the same page, know what they want, and go from there.
Is it different taking over this time than it was a few weeks back with the stroke, knowing that was, I mean, it still could be temporary, but still a little bit different knowing that this is...
Yes, as far as schedules and so forth we and practices, you know, when I took over before, you normally just, especially since we thought it was only going to be a week or so, just keep the same thing, do the same things that we've been doing. Here we said, hey, things have not gone well. We need to change some things. We need to add some things, change some things. So that's what we try to do.
You know, and some of the things you've changed, you talked about earlier today in your press conference, so many penalties last weekend in Jacksonville. You brought in some officials today. You thought that was the obvious thing to do. Can you kind of take us through exactly what you did and why?
Well, when you have that many penalties, you don't want to repeat it, certainly. And you have to make the players cognizant of penalties, and part of it is, hey, if the officials are out there, and we made them throw flags, and so, you know, now they know, hey, these are penalties. We emphasize them in the meetings, and hopefully we'll cut down on the number of penalties.
So aside from the penalties, as you approach these next three games, what are some of the keys for you? What are you looking to implement? What do you think are the priorities as you finish out
this
season?
I think with our situation and the quarterback situation, we've got a young quarterback. We've got to do the things that he can do well. We've got to identify those things, do the things he can do well. Not overload him where he can have a lot of problems from having too many things to do or too many decisions to make. And let him play the way he can play for this ballgame.
Can you take us through how you will do that on the field from a coaching perspective? Who will be calling the plays? Who will be up in the booth? Who's communicating with Case?
Yeah, Rick Dennison will be in the press box like we did previously. He'll call the plays through Carl Durrell. Carl will have some input also. And Carl is talking to the quarterback on the field or off the field. So we'll get a lot of feedback there as to because, again, I think the quarterback is the key on how he feels, what he understands, what he doesn't understand, and Carl can communicate that.
You know, Mr. McNair spoke last week about these final games, and in no way, shape, or form is this team trying to do anything but win. People talk about draft picks. People talk about the future already. You know, I know as a coach, you can't even think that way, but when you look at a guy like Case Keenum, you look at this team, this offense, just kind of how do you impart the importance, the intensity to these guys going into these last three
games?
Well,
you know, a lot of players, certainly coaches, are playing for their job, you know. So these things are important that way. But also for the development of this team and especially the quarterback, I think it's important that we do the things that he does well and emphasize those things and see what he can do the last three games.
As you head, let's talk a little bit about Indianapolis. This team still has never won in Indianapolis. What do you see from that team, and what will their biggest challenges be for you this weekend?
Well, they've already won the division. They're obviously a really good football team. You know, we had a close game with them last time at home. I think, you know, their quarterback obviously has played really well. Their defense has played well also. So they're a well-rounded team that's won a lot of games, and they're playing at home. And like you said, this team has never beaten them there.
All right, well, good luck. Hopefully this is the week.
This will be.
Thanks, Coach. We have to take another time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we will head on out to the Verizon Wireless store and check in with Bryce McCain and Jonathan Joseph. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. All right, let's get back into our normal groove. And for that, we follow our radio guys around, and we head out to the Verizon Wireless Show, where Bryce McCain and Jonathan Joseph visited with John Lopez and Mark Vandermeer.
All right, well, let's talk about the last week. It's been kind of a head-spinning week. Before we get to Wade, you know, you're coming back from the trip last week to Jacksonville. I'm guessing, I mean, you guys are human. You had to figure, you know, they weren't going to stay with what the status quo was for long.
Obviously, you know, any time in this business, when you lose 10, 11 games straight, there's going to be some change. You know, you don't know exactly where it's going to be. So everyone pretty much has responsibility to play for their jobs. But at the same time, you know, obviously Coach Kuhl was the guy to take the fail. But it's a team sport, you know. So obviously in this business, anytime you don't put the right product on the field, someone's going to take the fall. And for us, it just happened to be Coach Kuhl. You know, we didn't know when, but it was just, you know, all of a sudden.
I thought a nice touch, you know, given the circumstance, was Bob McNair coming in yesterday and talking with you guys. Can you relate what that was like?
For a lot of those guys in the room, myself included, first time ever being in an experience like that, you know, having a head coach getting fired, you know, interim coach. Of course, we had way early in the year, but it was because of a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it shows the type of guy he is to step in and show the control that he has of his team, step in. And, you know, in that meeting every day, I'm sure everyone took in and observed every word that he said. And, you know, you can tell that it was felt, you know, coming from his heart. And we understood exactly where he was coming from.
So it is your birthday today. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And so party last night. Now, when would the party be? Last night or tonight? The day off is today, but, you know, I have work tomorrow. So how do you handle that? And here you are at, you know, 8 in the morning during an appearance. So I don't know what you do. Wait till the off season?
Nah, just wait till next year.
Wait until next year.
Well, you have the same problem every year, Bryce. Yeah. Every year you're in the league, you have the same problem. My wife's birthday is November 30th. It's always, you know, we celebrate, but usually in February. You know, you have to put it off until the off season. So we asked Jonathan a bunch of questions about, you know, how the season's going for him and for the DBs as a group and everything. You know, obviously this is not what anybody wanted, but let me know your perspective on things. And you know, as things have sort of slid into this situation of 2-11 and Gary Kubiak being dismissed last week, what is your take on it all?
Not the season we wanted. We 11 game losing streak. You don't get no better than that. I mean, no worse than that, man. Should I keep fighting, man? It's been bad, man. It's been bad. We got to turn around and try to finish the season off right. That's the only thing we can ask for, man. Just go out with a bang.
How do you keep your spirits up as a group? I mean, I know you're paid professional athletes, so you're compensated, do the job, and that's the way it is. But it kind of wears on you after a while. So how do you guys keep the intensity up and your spirits up week to week?
We're competitors, man. At the end of the day, we're competitors. We don't want to look bad. So we go out there and play our hardest every play. Every play and try to make the other team look bad. That's what we try to do every game, and that ain't going to change.
All right, guys. You got the Colts coming up on Sunday, so it's time. Now, John asked you this earlier. What's going to change, if anything, with Wade Phillips at the controls? And you won't really know until you get through the practice week here. And you mentioned finding each other and everything for dropping balls in practice, Jonathan. What about practice and how you guys approach this stuff as defensive backs? Because I noticed the scout team offense, I mean, they're not they're going to throw some balls that are, you know, interceptable, if you know what I'm saying. It's not like they're trying to torch you guys, and this happens around the league this way. So how do you approach that? Is it a mental game more than a physical game when you're facing the scout team?
It's kind of give and take. But, you know, like you said, when I was in Cincinnati, it was kind of like you better come and show up for practice each and every day because they was gunning for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was a little different here. But in Cincy, it was like every day you had Jerome Simpson, Andre Caldwell, those guys flying down the field 100 miles per hour trying to beat you over the top and embarrass you in practice as a scout team player. So it was fun. And at the same time, you have to get some work done because a lot of times the guy's not trying to get injured in practice, so you can't just go out there and get as physical as you probably want to with an opponent and things like that. So you have to find some fine things in that you can work your technique and your foot placement and things like that where you can get something out of it.
Let me ask you both. Where do you find fun right now? Obviously, you're a professional. This is a business, and you want and you've got to do your job. But football is supposed to be fun. I mean, how do you guys, both of you, approach the final three games? Obviously, you know the result of the season pretty much already. Where do you find success and fun in the game right now?
Yeah, I think you have to make it fun. If you can't go out there and get excited about playing football on Sunday, you're probably in the wrong business from the beginning. And obviously, you have to do it for your teammates and for everyone inside that locker room. So when you approach the practice field, like, it's our message. You want to bring that energy. Because if you don't bring that energy, it's going to be, a lot of long days. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's just about bringing that energy and just getting excited to be at practice and it'll carry over to the game.
I agree. If you don't come excited to the game, you don't get tore up anyway. So you got to – if you don't play excited, you don't play scared. So you just got to play excited, man, and love what you're doing. And come every day to be the best.
We have to take one final time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, we'll head on out to the Houston Texans Grill and ask Antonio. Stay with us.
Texans Weekly has been brought to you in part by Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Time now to head on out to the Houston Texans Grill, where Antonio Smith holds court, answers questions, this time from one of our own.
Let's get to our questions here for Ask Antonio, shall we?
What's up, Tone Stradamus? This is J. Joe. Got another nickname, as I call you, by Atomic Dog. I got a question for you since you like to predict things. I'd like to know the outcome of the Oklahoma State-Missouri game in the bowl game this year. Hopefully you guys pull it out, man.
Well, that's a show of support from J. Joe, Oklahoma State, Missouri. Yeah. Now, Oklahoma State, what was with that game with OU?
Ah, man.
Come on.
Oh, man, I don't even want to talk about it.
They call it Bedlam for a reason, don't they?
Yeah. Oklahoma get lucky every now and then.
it's funny. These rivalry games, you always see weird stuff happening, often see weird stuff happening. Mm-hmm. Alabama, Auburn, we saw it there. And just when these kinds of programs get together, you see some strange stuff. They were able to pull one out at your place.
Yeah, man, and that makes it even worse because Oklahoma fans and players like to brag for at least 5 years for even one win that they had in Stillwater, especially when they go up there in Stillwater. Oh, man, you would never hear the end of it. You get on every time we get on the airplane. Everybody wearing OU stuff, and they just talking about, yeah. Boom.
Wasn't there a story about somebody tripping a cheerleader?
They did?
Yeah. I don't know if it
was. No, a cheerleader tried to trip an OU player.
A cheerleader tried to trip a player.
Yeah, in the back of the end zone. After that winning touchdown.
Yeah, that's what they get. Yeah. You should have tripped.
He's like, rightfully so. Why are you Atomic Dog?
Huh? That's just the name J. Joe gave.
Another one?
Yeah.
You hear him say that?
Where'd that come from? How?
He made it up.
Oh, he just was gonna. You don't have enough nicknames. I'm gonna throw another one.
I really want to do this show next year. You really have to sign because I want the deep voice guy to put all the nicknames in the open. And by the time he's done, we'll be halfway through the program. Yeah. I mean, Atomic Dog, Ninja Assassin, Cowboy, all the other
Scooby,
stuff. Scooby.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Tone Stradamus.
And it goes on and on. So anyway, prediction: Oklahoma State, Missouri. Do we even have to ask?
Oklahoma State.
By 10.
Got it. You see, for those who are playing this thing for entertainment purposes, there you have it. Next question on Ask Antonio.
Hey, Ninja, man. This is Bryce, man. Kane, man. I want to ask you, what you going to do for Christmas this year, man? What you going to cook for your boys, man?
Are you having people over for Christmas, players, maybe?
I guess so.
It seems that way.
They've invited themselves.
I don't know. I don't know if I can have all them boys in my house, man. They're going to tear the thing down.
Well, in 2 weeks, you got Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Right? And then you guys You guys are going to practice on Christmas Day, I guess.
It's yeah, I think so. Yeah. But whenever we do it, we always practice real early, and then that way you got most of the day with
Christmas Day is different, though, mm-hmm. because if you practice early – yeah, I know you want to get home and everything.
You're
but
right.
It's
you're
Christmas
right.
morning. Coop you practice did. Later.
Coop did make us practice later last year on Christmas Day.
Okay. All right, one more question on Ask Antonio. This is a surprise guest asking a question. I don't know who this is.
Antonio, this is Mark Vandermeer, voice of the Texans. You may have heard of me. Just wanted to know, is there any way that I have any sort of ninja potential at all? I'm just curious. Don't tell the other guys.
You can be honest.
The eyebrows are going up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's no. I already know the answer to this one. I am the anti-ninja.
Yeah. There are several skills.
Oh, really?
In ninjadom.
So are there vocal abilities? Because I might be able to thrive at that.
Well, if you'd stop talking, he could
tell you what
your
skills
are.
I'll shut up.
There are several skills in ninjadom. Vocal ability is actually it's a good skill.
Okay.
Because then... when you come to do an a job,
mm-hmm.
you can make your voice bounce off the wall down there. You know, they thank you down there, and then you sneak up behind them.
I'm going to work on this stuff.
You can throw voices like in the back pages of the classified ads of Boy's Life growing up. You know, by the whoopee cushion, the hand shocker.
Throw my voice around. That's good stuff.
Yeah, like Ninja Stars, you throw your voice around?
Ninja Stars. That's another thing. You know, we've learned so much from you this season.
Zach Celebration.
Now, that takes a lot of skills, though, Ninja Stars, you know.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Texans Weekly. Be sure to tune in Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Texans Countdown Live. We will be in Indianapolis counting you down to what hopefully will be the first Houston Texans win ever in Indianapolis. Have a great week, everyone.